Sometimes things stir in me, and when they stir, they stir. Take your Bibles. But it's amazing how people get trapped. Strongholds of Satan are where? In the mind, in the imagination, and in the reasoning. People's problems in life are in the mind. And it's amazing how twisted people get in their thinking. And the one thing the enemy of our souls wants to do is to rob us of truth. And if you turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1, I was there on Friday talking about it. In the beginning was the Word. You know, everything begins with the Word. Doesn't begin with visions. The subject for the pastor's meetings yesterday was, you go from vision to victory. How do you get there? How do you move out of believing things into the reality of living them? How do you get into life? And so many people have got cockeyed theories. I said to the pastors, you know, there's only one fast that God ever instituted, and it was half a day on the Day of Atonement, and God said, you fast from work. I believe God is a good God, and he's not here to judge us, he's here to bless us. But hey, there are principles to be followed and adhered to. Is that plain? And everyone changes. But one thing's good. The Word of God does not change. In the beginning was the Word. Amen? And you know, all your thinking, all your prejudices, some people are born with prejudice. They grow up in the family with prejudice. But there's only one touchstone for truth. It's the Word. Only one thing in the world that you can judge things by, it's the Word of God. Don't judge things by what you see. You don't judge things by your experiences. You judge things by what God says. You don't judge things by dreams. You don't judge things by visions. You judge things by the Word. It's so important to come back and realize the source of all life. My Bible says that the whole of creation is upheld by the power of his Word. God in the beginning spoke, said, let there be, and there was. Let there be light, and there was light. And I was explaining to the pastors, one of the problems with people is they talk without thinking. And they talk without understanding. And if you talk without thinking and understanding, you talk nothing. You have to comprehend what you're saying and the import of what you're saying. And so often, people don't understand. When God said, let there be light, he wasn't thinking in eternity, I wonder what that's going to be like. He knew. When God spoke the worlds from naught, he knew because in his heart he'd already planned everything. Before anything was, he planned it all. And you'll find in the Hebrew thought, it's always words are a motive. Word and deed were never separated. And if you don't speak out of understanding, what happens? You just speak trivial words. And trivial words have no impact. There's no faith in a man who speaks words he doesn't understand. And God, when he spoke, knew what he was creating. I find creation one of the most beautiful things. You can look. Sometimes I tell people, if you don't appreciate creation and you don't appreciate what God's made, you can't possibly be a Christian. You've only got to look at creation. If you've ever looked, if you look at birds and you see the beautiful colors, how is it that God created birds to come out like that, and the tones of the colors on a bird are so perfect, each little feather in its place, colored. And if they lose those feathers and grow another feather, hey, it comes out exactly colored in the right way. And you know, it says God numbers the sparrows. He knows every individual. Isn't it amazing how God put in creation beauty? And then you look at the beautiful flowers and the different colors. And my wife went and visited a garden, and it was just beautiful. I can't remember where it was. Hever Castle. But Hever Castle, she went to visit it, and beautiful gardens there. Beautiful flowers. And one thing you note is the most beautiful flower has the least fragrance. Insects are attracted by the color. And the most plain flower has the sweetest fragrance. But God has made everything wonderful, hasn't he? And he spoke it. And he thought it. And one of the things that's so harmful to our society is they want to take God out of the picture, and they want to take truth out of the picture, and they want to take absolutes out of the picture, and truth is what you want it to be and mean. And the Church of Jesus Christ is standing up and saying, no, in the beginning, God. And everything begins in God. If you move outside of that, you're in trouble. A family can only be right in God. A home can be right in God. Children can be right in God. There's values, but those values were laid down by God. They're not some concocted theory. We're a Christian nation. The Bishop of Lichfield turned around and said, The present government would like to pretend that we're a secular society and a multicultural society, but the truth is 72% of the population said they're Christians. We are a Christian nation. Amen? And you need to tell people that all the time. Don't let the lie of the devil sap the very root of our constitution and the root of our lives away. I want to be a son of God. Let's walk over the devil and all his works. Amen? The devil's under our feet. We're not here to be kicked around. We're here to kick him around. You know, he's in trouble, not us. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He always gives us the victory. Glory to God. Why do Christians get so bowed down with fear? Why do they feel they should be afraid? We shouldn't be afraid. God says, be bold, be strong. We've got the power of God on our side. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We've got good news. And the devil's in trouble. Very good news. Hey, Jesus Christ became all the power of the enemy 2,000 years ago. He whopped the devil. He whopped every principality, every power, every ruler of darkness. He beat them all. He made a show of them openly, my Bible says, triumphing over them in the cross. It's a done deal. I don't have to fight what's already defeated. He defeated every single thing. And yet I find Christians talking about principalities over cities. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, are we? It's the power of God. Glory to God. You know, it's wonderful. Hey, in the beginning was the, and the Word was, and the Word. What you have to understand is the Word is a revelation of, expression of, and a communication of God himself. When he created everything, do you know the whole of creation shows the glory of God. Before the fall, everything was perfect and good. God created it. And he said to Adam, and Adam had to learn that communication was important. He said to Adam, hey, Adam, I want you to name the animals. And Adam was given the responsibility. You can't communicate without words. You have to communicate with speaking. And Adam, what are you going to call this? And he said, well, I'll call that a giraffe. And I dare say Adam said to God, why did you make his neck so long? I mean, you know, have you ever thought, why is a giraffe like that? And why is an ostrich so ugly? I mean, you know, it's just kind of, it's odd, isn't it? Why is it so mysterious? And when you go down into the depths of the ocean, there are the most beautifully colored fish in the very depths of the deep. And you think, why did God put them there? A man's only got cameras now to go right down into the very depths of the ocean and discover the beauty of it. And you look and you think, you know, God put them there when he created the whole of creation. He put them there. And you can find the glories of what God has done. It's a mystery. Our God is so good. How did he? You imagine, he imagined, not only did he imagine, he thought out every member of your body was in his book before the foundation of the world. Hey, he knew the moment you'd be born, and it was appointed when you were going to die, before creation ever was. When God spoke everything, he didn't just create the earth, but hey, he had a purpose. When Adam and Eve sinned, and you know, I've said it before and I want to say it again, if you're worried whether Adam and Eve were black or pink or white or something, I want to tell you, I've solved the problem forever. They were green. Because you'd only hide amongst fig leaves if you were green. There they were. They sinned. But the moment they sinned, God said, look, the seed of woman is going to bruise the serpent's head. This, he spoke of Christ. Right at the beginning, when sin came, God had already got the answer planned. It wasn't that God was taken by surprise. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, nothing takes God by surprise. My God is in control. The devil has never, ever ruled creation or ruled anything. He's a liar. When he came to Jesus and he said, look, in the temptations, he said, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you the glories of the kingdom. They weren't his to give. He wasn't God Almighty. He's just a fallen angel, full of lies. Jesus didn't believe the lie. So easy to get caught up with reading something and not thinking. Just said, you know. You know, there's only one who you should worship, that's God. You know, the cares of this world choke up the word. People get caught up with so many stupid things. Get worried about things. What's going to happen in the future? I'll tell you what's going to happen in the future. It's going to go on. That's what's going to happen. I'm not a fortune teller, I'm a Christian. You know, and everyone's got to... I'll tell you something. My Bible says, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. Life's good, isn't it? Huh? You know, I love life. I love life. People want to make it all spiritual. It's not spiritual. It's really down to earth. You know, Jesus Christ is interested about how you live in the flesh. You're not kind of floating in midair. There's people, ooh, got to be in the spirit. Glory to God. In the beginning was the word. And the word. It's great when you start looking at it. Most people look at the word and they say, well, you know, what does it mean? And I just want to share some thoughts with you. Get my glasses out so I can see. You know, I want to tell you, when I put these on, I can see the people in the back row. Up to this point, you've been a blur. It's easy to preach at people when you can't see them. The word. You know, in Greek, it's logos, and it's derived from the Greek word lego, which means to say or to speak. And lego is building blocks, you know. You can go to a lego city now. That's where they got it from. The word to speak. And one of the things people don't understand is for the Greeks to speak is to utter the arrangement or gathering of one's thoughts. You know, just to say a word is useless. When my daughter, my first daughter, that's Rachel, was about, I guess she must have been about 18 months, 19 months, I don't know. Well, she was learning to speak. And one day she walked up to me. I was sitting in the lounge, and she walked up to me, and she tapped me on the knee, and she looked straight at me, and she said, "I don't think so." I said, "You don't think what?" She said, "No, I don't think so." Now, she'd heard Mum say, "I don't think so," so often she learnt the phrase, "I don't think so." Now, it didn't connect with anything, but she said it very well. And she said it with total sincerity, just like my wife would. I don't know what she said, "I don't think so," about, but Rachel had learnt this little phrase. And so there she was looking at me saying, "I don't think so." You know, don't think what? "I don't think so." No. It was impressive. That's how a lot of Christians are. They've got their little phrases and they utter them, but they don't understand. It's not an expression of their thought and understanding. It's just a little Christian cliche. Gone quiet. In other words, they don't understand and comprehend. But in Greek thought, logos had the meaning behind it. It was an expression of profound thought that you were expressing from the depths of your understanding. It wasn't just words. You got what I'm saying? And Logos is God's expression, his communication of himself. When you take the word of God, it is God communicating himself to you. God wants you to know his nature. God wants you to know his substance. God wants you to know his reality. And the word of God is communicating and expressing God himself. And when it says in the beginning, God, God wants you to know he is the Almighty. He's the one who started everything. He's the source of all life. And it's an expression of God himself. It includes the idea of a plan, purpose, wisdom, and even power. It's not something which is just simply a word. Behind everything that God speaks is a plan and a purpose. And in that word is the power to perform what is spoken. And the word of God has the authority of God behind it. The power of God behind it. It has the wisdom of God behind it. It has the thought of God behind it. It is an expression of God himself. It's not just a word. And some people take the word of God so casually. They're careless with the word of God, as though somehow it matters. What God says has import and power. But it doesn't just have that. It has reason and wisdom behind it. God has purpose. And when you come to the word of God, there's tremendous purpose in it. The English translation of logos as word falls short of what the Greek word really means. You talk about word, the word was with God, and they don't understand the import of it. Hey, I always think as soon as I get out anywhere in the country and I look, I just see the nature of God and the wisdom of God and the wonders of God in everything. I mean, God is just so. How did he, from nothing, create all that there is? How did he set it in such order? How could he have taken care of the minutest detail? In the minutest animal. You look at some of the insects and the colouring. How did God work it out? From all creation, with nothing there, this God of mine spoke and created it all out of nothingness. And in that speaking, he knew you. The day you were going to be born, every member of yours was written in his book. And in his wisdom, the plan of your life, the very day where the word of God, that incorruptible seed, would come into your spirit and you would be born from above, that very day was marked. The angels in heaven knew the point at which they could rejoice because God had birthed you. And all your life planned out. And any tragedy that comes, God has made a way of escape. Every trial that comes, he's made a way of escape. He knows. And he's our Father. And he loves us. And he cares. And he's left no detail out. It's the most wonderful thing in life. What a God we serve. In the beginning was the Word. So wonderful. You know, in the Greek, it's also associated with the reality of things. To give a logos was to give a rational or reasonable explanation for something. And people understood when you spoke. there was reason behind it. I find people don't understand reason. If you want to warn someone, don't do this, don't do that. You've got a reason behind it. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And God says, this is the way to live. And God put down in law, which cannot change, what he spoke. And he wrote it in stone. And then Jesus came, atoned for our sin. He fulfilled the law and the prophets, and he made a way for healing and life. He made a way where we could be filled with God. You know, my Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. You need the life of Christ inside. It's not what you do, it's what Christ does in you. I live, nevertheless not I, says Paul. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. But it's the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's God's life. You can't be a Christian, you need Christ. He wants to give you his life. He wants you to turn and repent. He wants you to realize there's nothing good in you. He wants you to realize you were totally reprobate from the day of your birth. He wants you to realize you're against God until you have his life inside. Total depravity. That's what God taught. You must be born again. Jesus meant it. And the thought behind it was life from above. You must be born of water and the Spirit. And if you're not, there's no way you'll enter in. It's not what you do. It's not what you think. It's not what you decide. It's what God says. You can't help yourself. You can't change yourself. So God gifted his Son to the world, because he loved it. And he said, I've made a remedy. And he made it before the world was. And the remedy is Jesus Christ. He came. He shed his precious blood. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Without Christ, you have no hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You have to have his life inside. That's the gospel. It's the good news. And people don't like it. Christ is the only Savior. There's no other name under heaven whereby a man shall be saved. The name of Jesus. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's life in him, in his name. You know, one of the reasons people like our television program, they say, that bishop, he says it in plain English. I can understand it. I don't go to church, they say, but I like his program. I like people like that. I want to reach the people who don't go to church. There's hope for them. I like real people. You know? Normal people. People who've got life. Life's great. There's some people that, you know, they're so desperate for God to come back again. They're praying for the Lord's return. I enjoy life down here. I really do. I'm going to enjoy it more up there when I get to glory. But it's great down here, isn't it? Huh? I mean, glory. Hadn't God given us good things? You know? I find people, they're wanting to escape. I've got things to do. Hey, I enjoy my life. It's great life. Christianity is good. Christ is good. God is good. Everything he does is good. Do you know, my God has everything planned. He's my Father. He really cares. Before the foundation of the world, he planned everything out. Nothing is left to chance. And the whole of the Greek word, logos, has the thought behind it. God had worked it all out. So often Christians are in the view that somehow, you know, when things go wrong, they've nowhere to go. And they, oh God, how's this happened? Well, in the world, you're going to suffer tribulation. Be of good cheer, says Jesus. I've overcome the world. You'll go through trials. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're exempt from trials. If a preacher tells you that, he's a liar. You'll get 100-fold in this life with persecutions. It's part of the package. If you want it, I was with Oral Roberts over at his home with Evelyn and Oral, and he asked me to pray for him. My wife and I were sitting there, and Oral said, brother, he said, you've got a gift of healing, will you pray for me? I mean, Oral is tremendous ministry, and he's asking me to pray for him. I kind of thought, oh, well, I didn't feel kind of I should. And then he said, after you pray for me, he said, I want to pray for you. What would you like? And I thought, you know, when Oral asks you what you want, I thought, you know, here's a man. Yes. So I said to Oral, I said, look, I said, it'd be great if God would just wipe out the opposition and the trials and everything. Just God would take care of it. Be no trials. And he said, that's easy. He said, we don't need to pray about that. He said, you can have that without a prayer. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I don't need to pray for that. He said, I'll tell you how to get that. If you want all opposition to go, all trials to go, he said, I can tell you how to do that without praying. I said, well, that's great. And then he looked at me and he smiled. And when he smiled, I thought, I'm in trouble here. And he said, you know, just quit the ministry. I looked at him. I said, I can't do that. He said, no, neither could I. He said, I've thought about it many times, how to get rid of the trials. And if you quit the ministry, no one will oppose you if you don't say anything. If you don't stand up for truth, no one's going to oppose you. If you don't stand true for Jesus Christ, no one cares. But if you stand true, you're going to suffer persecution. Because people don't want to be confronted with sin. They don't want to be confronted with the needs of their life. They don't want to be confronted with truth. And your very life will be a confrontation to them. And guess what? They're not going to like it. I get mad at you. Who are you to tell me? Oh, so you think you're so good, do you? So high and mighty. Anyone ever had someone say that to you? Because you're a Christian? Huh? Anyone had it? No? No one's had that said to them. Aren't many Christians here. Have you had people turn around to you and say, yeah. I remember going into work one day and someone used an expletive. And then he looked up and he saw me there and he said, oh, he said, don't throw your Bible at me. They're conscious all the time. Have you experienced that? Where people look and they feel embarrassed because they know you're a Christian? Put your hand up if you have, if that's what you've experienced. Now, it's part of the package. It's part of the way it is. If you've got the Word inside and Christ lives in you, they feel uncomfortable with God around. They don't express it that way. But really, God's there because you're there. Because Christ lives in you. And they feel uncomfortable in the presence of God. You're not God, but God lives in you. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's embarrassing for them because you're there. And if it doesn't embarrass them, I wonder what life you're living. You know, everything God says has a practical application with human life. Everything. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word. In the beginning. And you know, your life in Christ, it has to begin in God. When I was talking about visions yesterday with these pastors, I said, look, if you have a vision and it doesn't begin in the Word of God, and the vision doesn't come from God's Word, it's a dream. It's come out of your ego. It's come out of your imagination. You better have the Word of God as your base. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. You can't have faith in something if the Word of God is not the foundation of it. Is that plain? The Word of God. In the beginning was the... And if you want something to begin the right way, it must begin in God. My dear friend, R.O. Roberts, when I was sitting with him, talking with him about his life, he suddenly turned round to me and he put his hand across on my arm and he said, young man. And he's 87, so he had a right to call me young. And he said, young man, mark my words. I never... followed a vision. I never followed a dream. Never. I only did what God told me to do. And I tell you, you'd certainly save yourself from a lot of trouble if you lived the same way. Don't follow a vision and don't follow a dream. Follow what God says. Thy word is a light to my feet. If you follow dreams and you follow visions, you'll end up in trouble. If you follow God's word, it'll keep you. Is that plain? That's where it begins. That's where it goes on. That's why Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's to do with keeping. If you keep his commandments, you walk straight. The word of God. That's why I treasure above everything in a church the word of God. When Abraham was going to Mount Moriah, he said, we go yonder to worship. It was nothing to do with singing. He was going to offer his son on the altar. Worship is nothing to do. Worship is worship to God. Singing and jumping about isn't worship. A lot of people sing and jump about, but they never change their lifestyle. We've got to be real. It's living. Christ came to give me life and life more abundant. Now, I like a choir singing. I like good music. But I know it's got its place. But if you start singing words and they have no thought and they have no expression behind them, then it's emptiness. And so when you come in, it's important what you're singing is what you are. And sometimes it takes time for people to get their brain engaged, their heart engaged. It's important. You make with your mouth a confession, and it doesn't work. To summarize it, the Logos, in its original Greek usage, encompasses human language and thought. in its relation to the things of human experience and the purpose of human existence. In the Bible, the Word is God's purpose or plan, his reasonable explanation of, his rationale for, his creation of all things before they became corrupted with human nature, when human nature fell. You know, everything is thought. And I want to ask you this morning, who do you really respond to? Is God the most important person in your life? When you get up in the morning, what are you thinking? Is it God's will? I woke up this morning, I suppose, I don't know, about 4 o'clock, 4:30. I woke up, and the moment I woke, I found there was a song in my heart, straight away. And the song was just there, inside. Wasn't something I tried to do, it's just something that's there. I looked up and I thought, my, God is a good God. Why do I have a song in my heart? Because I don't allow things to trap my mind. I tell you, we have more authority than we realize. It's just we don't use it. We have more ability. But we tend to disbelieve. The power that works in me is the same power that brought Jesus out of the tomb 2,000 years ago. And I just woke up with a great song in my heart and a joy to God. And I thought, you know, it's good to be alive, isn't it? Amen. It's good to just know you've got a Savior. It's good to be able to rejoice. It's good to know that all that we are and have is in the hands of one who loves us, who cares for every detail, who works everything out, who's planned the end from the beginning, who's the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end of everything. It's good to know the one in control is my God. It's good to know I belong to him. It's good to know he cares for me and he cares for you. It's good to know he's not going to let anything happen to thwart his purpose. And anything that tries to, he's worked out a remedy for it before the creation of the world. It's good to know we've got a God like that. It's good to know he'll never get caught by surprise. It's good to know he has all wisdom, infinite knowledge. It's good to know he loves us. It's good to know he sent his son to redeem us. It's good to know he took all our sin into his own body on the tree. He died to it. The third day he rose again from the dead by the glory of the Father. It's good to know he's alive. He lives. He ascended into heaven and he poured out the Holy Ghost. It's good to know he's Almighty God. He has all authority in heaven, on earth, under the earth. It's good to know his name is above every name. It's good to know he loves me. It's good to know my salvation doesn't depend on what I do. It depends on what he did for me. And it's good to know that nothing can change it. It's good to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written in heaven. It's good to know I came from him, I go to him. It's good to know He cares for me. It's good to know He's a great God, a loving Heavenly Father, a wonderful Savior. In the beginning was the Word. Hey, you know, if you can only believe in the Lordship of Christ, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, there's got to be thought behind it. It's not saying, Lord Jesus. It's the thought of how good it is that He's Lord of all glory. He's Lord of all creation. He's Lord of everything that lives. He's Lord of eternity. He's Lord of all. Everything's upheld by the power of His Word. Every moment of every day, He's in control of everything. What a God we serve. My! What a God! When you say Jesus Christ is Lord, do you see what you say? He's Lord of all. When you know that, when you know, you say, well, it's great to go home to glory, but it's better to stay and do something about what's here. I want to tell everyone, we've got a Savior. His name is Jesus. I want to tell all that'll hear. I love what Wesley wrote. Oh, for a trumpet voice on all the world to call, to bid their hearts rejoice in Him who died for all. Oh, and I think of it, and my, I'll tell you what I thought when I heard there were 9,000 people logging onto our website, seeing what said, downloading everything. I thought, oh, 9,000 a month, that's a lot of people we're getting hold of. Amen? That's over 108,000 a year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, for a trumpet voice on all the world to call, to bid their hearts rejoice in Him who died for all. But you know, He didn't just die, He's alive, He rose. He ascended into heaven. What a Savior. Hey, I'm just so excited. You know, I look at you lot, it makes me want to jump through the roof. My God. Hey, isn't He good? Isn't He a good God? Jesus Christ, if you would confess with your mouth. You know, one of the reasons you all came in and you come in bleary-eyed, and, you know, most of you look as though you didn't have a cup of coffee this morning. You needed a little caffeine to get you going. You know, and don't get off these nasty diets where you're not allowed coffee. It's all wrong. God put coffee on the earth so our anointing could flow. Get you going in the morning. You know. You know, my God put these things on earth for me. He wants me to richly enjoy all things. Our God is a good God. Hey, this morning, let's open our hearts to Him. Let's lift up our hearts to Him who's Lord of all. You know, He's so good. He's come to lift us up, come to make us whole. He's not against you, He's for you. He's not somehow angry. He's not way off. He appreciates everything. I looked out of my window this morning and I saw a bird, little black head and glorious crimson chest. And I said to my wife, look at that. Just so beautiful. So perfectly painted. And I said, that's not a chaffinch. She said, no. And she went and got a book. Because I like to know. You see, I like to understand their names. Adam named everything. So you don't want to say, oh, well, it's a bird. I want to know, what's it called? And it was a bullfinch. Hadn't seen a bullfinch round a bird table before. Beautiful. Different. Plenty of chaffinch, plenty of blue tits, plenty of house sparrows, plenty of... But suddenly a bullfinch came. And it looked so gorgeous. And I thought, my. You know, my God made it. My God designed it. My God painted it. My God created it. What a God. He is over all. Amen. He's so, so good. I want to pray. You know, I want you to just turn your heart inward. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. I want you to set your heart on this wonderful Savior. I want you to know He knows everything about you. He knows why you're here this morning. He got you here. He cares for every detail of your life. You're not forgotten. He hasn't forsaken you. You might have made a fine mess of your life, but He cares. You might have done things you regret, but He cares. You might feel you've got yourself in a mess you can't get out of. I want to tell you, in every trial, God's always promised He's made a way of escape. It's just finding the right door. He doesn't lead you into a trap. He leads you into life. He's not vindictive. He's good. He cares. He loves you. You're precious to Him. You're so precious to God that He gave His only begotten Son. He allowed His Son's life to be poured out for you. He cares so much for you. You think everything's passed you by and life has passed you by. You think you missed opportunities and they'll never come again. You think you went down the wrong path and there's no way back. You feel things are so hopeless. I want to tell you there's a God who created heaven and earth, who upholds all things by the power of His word, who says, with every trial, I make a way of escape. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's come to restore the waste places. He's come to build again that which was destroyed. He's come to bring the lame into the paths of life. He's come to open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. He's come to change everything. In the beginning was the Word. He's here for you. What a God. He's come to dig you out of your horrible pit. He's come to wash you clean. He's come to set your feet on a rock. He's come to restore the years the locusts have eaten. He's come. He loves you. He really loves you. He loves you. So, so much. What a God. What a God. And you know, he wrote in his book your name before creation was. You weren't just a thought. He saw you. He saw your life. All your members were written in his book before the world was. He knew through the ages there would come a day when you'd be born. He knew there'd come a day when his incorruptible word would get in your heart. There's a day when you'll step out of this body into the presence of the glory of God. And it's all in his hands. Even the time of that is appointed. What a God. What a God. What a God. Jesus, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray for each one here. Lord. You know the circumstances of each one. You know their heart. You know their life. Lord, you came to save and redeem. You haven't come to condemn. You haven't come to push aside. You've come to redeem each one. Lord Jesus, in your mercy and your grace, this day, let the glorious truth of who you are, your very nature, dawn on every heart. Lord, thank you, you care. Thank you, you know. Thank you, you are who you are, what you are. I just want to thank you. I just want to lift up my heart in thanksgiving unto you. Lord, I thank you. You've got a plan for every life, a perfect plan. For each one. And nothing's going to thwart it. Nothing's going to change it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everything he created is there, revealing his nature, his heart, his life. What a God. I was made to love you. I was made to praise you. I was made to worship at your feet. In every circumstance, God can take me through. You know, the easiest way to give up idolatry is to worship the one who deserves all praise and glory, to lift him up, to magnify his name. I was made for you. The whole of creation was made to delight his heart. I was made for you. Glory to God. It's true.